Great to be back here. I kind of feel like this is my second date. Thanks for allowing me to come back. I have a confession to make. It's kind of a weird way to start a sermon, I realize that, but over the past couple of weeks, I've been in Colorado speaking, Virginia speaking, and so because I enjoyed my first date, I would call myself a peeping Doug, meaning that for the past couple of weeks, I've been actually listening in into this sermon series of reaching to, as Pastor David has been talking to you about this big idea of being intentional about leaving this building and showing up in your Money Through Saturday world to engage the people in your world with good news. This morning, as I have been a peeping Doug from afar, there are some thoughts that have been stirred up inside of me, just probably like they've been stirred up inside of you. And I believe the Holy Spirit would have me share those here this morning as you think about this journey of leaving the church and being outwardly focused and reaching to. I actually would like to give you a test to help you determine whether or not you're ready to pull this whole thing off. I mean, in one sense, I think Pastor David has challenged you here at this church to kind of say, hey, let's go for it. Let's go for it. Here's a test to help you kind of get in touch with whether or not you're ready to go for it. I'm going to put 10 questions up on the screen. These 10 questions represent whether or not you your heart is kind of been formed in the image of Jesus, who was called a friend of sinners. Here's my big belief this morning, that if you are going to reach to, that something has to happen in you before it can actually happen through you, and the heart of Jesus needs to be formed in you if you're going to do well at this whole assignment of reaching to. So what I'd like you to do is pull out a pen and a piece of paper, and I'd like you to take this test here this morning as an act of worship. I'd like you to look through the questions, and each question you put a number down and add up all the numbers and come up with a final score. I'm hoping as you do this that you are able to multitask. The reason is because in the background, I'm actually going to have a song playing that I think speaks to what this test is all about, this Jesus test, being a friend of sinners. So go ahead, let's go ahead and start the test and listen to the words from this artist.
Sinners, the truth's become so hard to see. The world is on their way to you, but they're tripping over me. Always looking around but never looking up. I'm so double-minded. A plank-eyed saint with dirty hands and a heart divided. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, open our eyes to the world at the end of our pointing fingers. Let our hearts be led by mercy. Help us reach with open hearts and open doors. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, break our hearts for what breaks yours.
If you're in a small group here, or you're involved in some faith community, smaller faith community here, and you might want to share this with them, you can actually pick these up at the Welcome Center, at a kiosk, at the bistro tables. I've actually printed some of these off if you'd like to take a copy on your way out this morning. Now, here's a thought for you. As you think about your final score, if you scored high on this test, and I'd say like 85 or higher, here's a thought that might turn your head for just a moment. Think about it, though. You might frequently be misunderstood by other Christians. If you are hanging out with the wrong kinds of people, the wrong kinds of time, and the wrong kinds of places, which is what Jesus was doing, and that got him the label of friend of sinners, it's possible that when you make choices that reflect the heart of Jesus, there might be some people who just don't get that because they are operating from this idea that ultimately a good Christian is in the building anytime the doors are open. And yet I would suggest to you this morning, if you're going to follow the Jesus of the Bible, there are going to be times when you are actually not in the building, not because you don't want to be here, but because you want to follow Jesus. And he is actually leading you out to spend time with somebody who is not yet a Christian. I so appreciated Pastor David mentioning that, I think it was last week, that hey, if when it comes down to that decision and you feel like the Holy Spirit is leading, hey, in all freedom, go with the heart of Jesus. Go where the Spirit is leading you. Realizing that that would honor Jesus. Because he said he came to seek and to save that which is lost. Maybe some of you, after taking this test, and maybe you didn't score very well, maybe you're ready to sing this song. Lord, save me from that part of myself that's not like yourself. Have you found in your journey that there's a little Pharisee in all of us? Thought for you this morning, as you set out to reach two, is it possible that as you set out to reach two, God might also want to reach you and change you from the inside out, that he wants to actually do something in you as he wants to do something through you? I had another thought. I think this is a God thought. I'll let you decide and test this in your own heart. But if I were to invite, if there was somehow I was able to gather the list of the two people that all of you have been challenged to make out, those two people that you have in your mind and your heart, and I was able to assemble that list and invite them here, but I said, you guys can't come. I'm just inviting all the people that are on your list. And if I kind of let them in on the secret, that, and I'm not saying this is happening here at Fairhaven. You just got to understand, I'm projecting out of 32 years of ministry all over the world, that often when we think about doing things like this, it's quick to, people are quick to kind of start reducing other people to being like spiritual projects, like they kind of have a bullseye on them. And nobody wants to be seen as somebody's spiritual project. Or there's a lot of language sometimes used in the Christian community. I was a part of an organization where we often referred to people, you know, the place where we were ministering as our target audience. I'm pretty sure if I went to this group of people and said, hey, did you know that you are our target audience? They'd go, wow, we're excited about that. Nobody wants to be seen as a target. Often we use language, and I've heard Christians say this, oh, so-and-so's on my hit list. Ooh, maybe we've taken a cue from the Amish Mafia reality TV show, and all of a sudden now we think we're, you know, part of the spiritual mafia or something. We're out there to, or we often refer to people outside the walls as them. And kind of we talk about this us-them language, and it's just so unproductive. It's not going to help us reach two. Or even the word lost. Now, it's a biblical word, but I think we've kind of lost the actual heart behind the word. When you study the word in the scriptures, I can't come to any other conclusion than when Jesus uses the story of the lost you know, sheep, the lost son, the lost coin, that it's something of great value that's missing. And therefore, there's an effort to reclaim that which is missing. And maybe you can kind of think of this way, that the friends and the people that you're thinking about who are not here today, that they are missing. You're missing them. And they are missing out on something. And so there's great value to reaching out. And so on your journey to reach two, as I said, it's possible that God might want to reach you as well. And there might be some circumstances that happen that kind of push buttons inside of you. Just expect that and realize that God wants to be about transforming us as we seek to be obedient to Him. As I attempt to land the plane here on this series, and that's kind of what Pastor David said, Doug, I want you to come in and wrap it up. I'd like to share a story that might kind of tie together all the things that he talked about. And it's a story that happened to me last fall. I was actually traveling to Edmonton, Canada, to speak at one of the larger churches up there. And I got on an airplane, had a three-hour flight, and I had the whole aisle to myself, and I was excited because I knew as soon as I got off the plane, I was going to be speaking to 2,500 people. And I wasn't ready to do that yet. I love airplane flights just for the fact that it gives me some kind of sequestered time to do things like that. And so I'm sitting there thinking, this is awesome. Lord, thank you for the aisle all to myself. I can spread out, put my laptop here, my books and all that. Right before they closed the door, some lady burst through the door. She just barely made the flight. And lo and behold, she happened to be sitting next to me. Now, that's normally not a big deal. I love meeting new people, but this lady was a flaming extrovert. I could tell she'd probably only used about 2,000 words that day, and she was gonna wear me out with another 20,000 before this flight was gonna end. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my goodness, I don't have time for this, Lord. I've got things to do. But I've wrestled with God before and lost, so I just closed the laptop and said, you know what? Maybe this is a divine appointment. Maybe you had something else in store for this flight, Lord, that I didn't know of, and now you're kind of letting me in on it. And now the question is, will I or won't I submit my will to yours? And let's just take a quick time out here for a moment. If you're committed to reaching two, you got to understand, in a busy world, it might not be convenient. You might not feel like it. But if you're going to find your life in Jesus, you have to lose it. And I had to lose my life at that point and say, God, I'm closing the laptop. I'm going to engage this lady who obviously wants to talk. So we started to talk, and she started to share that she travels quite a bit, and I'm like, wow, we have a lot in common. I've been to 39 different countries, she's been all over the world, and I'm thinking to myself, I wonder what takes her to all these places. I know what's taken me to all these places, and I'd sure like to tell her, but one of the things I've learned about having spiritual conversations with people is if you want to lead off and kind of hijack the conversation and take it over and dominate it with your worldview, you will kill those conversations pretty quickly. I have a whole chapter in my book, chapter 2, on that, Spiritual Conversation Killers. And I committed every one of them. That's how I could write it. So I could talk about it openly and honestly. Well, I released my curiosity into the conversation, and I think that's always a good thing to do. God's made us curious people. I said, what takes you to all these places? And she said, well, I'm actually the lead singer in a band. I said, wow, that's awesome. Maybe another quick time out here. The secret to being interesting is to be interested in another person, to get your eyes off yourself and to get excited about what they're excited about. And I said, wow, that's exciting. I'm just wondering, like, of all the gigs you've had all over the world, like, is there one that stands out as like the ultimate gig you've ever had? And she said, oh yeah, hands down. She said, let me tell you about it. She said, I came in on a wireless saxophone riding a camel as my band was playing in front of the pyramids. I'm going, that rocks. That's incredible. I said, have you had any other incredible gigs? She said, yeah, I actually got a chance to play for President Bush once. I said, wow, that is phenomenal. That had to be awesome. What was that like? And she just stopped me dead in my tracks. She said, I will never do that again. Now, my wonder meter, I started to wonder all over. I was like, what? And I actually told her, I said, most of the artists I know would like to do things in front of the president. I'm sure it came with a pretty good paycheck, didn't it? And she goes, oh yeah, it sure did. I said, so I'm wondering, why wouldn't you want to do this again? Now here's the context. We were 1 month out from the election. You remember last year? The rhetoric, the bashing of both sides and just demonizing Republicans, Democrats, just hammering each other. She said, I am so sick and tired of politics. I am so sick and tired of the rhetoric. I'm so sick and tired of the fact that people never listen to one another. It just drives me nuts, and I want nothing to do, and I don't want to support politics anymore with my own skills. I said, I think I get that. You know, not only do you and I have a lot in common that we both traveled a lot, but I feel the exact same way when it comes to religious conversation. And she goes, tell me about it. I said, it sounds like you've had a few of those kind of experiences in your travels. I'd love to hear about those. And she says, you know, I grew up Jewish. And we happened to be the poorest Jews in the neighborhood. And so we were the butt of a lot of the jokes. And we were ridiculed. I said, wow, that had to be hard. I did some listening. Can I stop for a moment and tell you that a lot of people, when they think about reaching two people, you might be uptight with this whole assignment because you're thinking about, I don't know what to say. You'd be wise to start by just listening for heaven's sake. That people are weary of our words anyhow, but we show up as listeners. It creates some God space for us to start engaging them and start figuring out where they're at in their relationship with God. She said, you know, I just grew up hating religion. I said, I get it. You've had some real bad experiences. But I didn't just like bow out and say, okay, don't talk about religion. I decided to ask her a question. And here's another thought. We are often one good question away from a significant spiritual conversation, but we'll never know unless we ask. So I said, I'm wondering, have you ever had an experience in your journey through life that you'd call spiritual in nature? She thought about it for a moment. She said, absolutely. I said, I'd love to hear about it. She said, when I was 12 years old, I decided I was going to commit suicide. And I'm like shocked. She's coming right out of the gate just like, bam. I said, what was going on? She said, my parents were going to have a divorce, and they were fighting over me. I was in the middle, and they were both trying to win me to their side. I said, oh, gosh, that had to be so hard as a 12-year-old. She goes, it was. And I just decided, if this is as good as life's going to get, I'm just going to punch out. And so she goes, I got some of my mother's prescription pills, and I decided I was going to end it all. I mean, I was into the story big time. I mean, she had me, I mean, I was focused, and I said, what happened? She said, right when I was ready to pull the plug and end my life and overdose, an angel showed up. I said, what did the angel say? The angel began to speak words of hope over me and tell me that I had a future and I was going to bring joy and entertain a lot of people. And I'm going, oh my gosh, that's unbelievable. She goes, yeah, it just literally stopped me dead in my tracks. And I said, wow. I just kept marveling over the story. And she said, just like somebody who finally realized what was happening, she was sharing her innermost thoughts with a total stranger on an airplane. She realized she kind of had disrobed, and all of a sudden she goes, oh, I'm sorry. That probably sounded pretty stupid, didn't it? I said, no, not from where I come from. She goes, really? I said, yeah, I believe there's a God who created all this. And I actually believe God's heart was broken when he saw you as a 12-year-old going to take your life and overdose on a bunch of pills. And I think he communicated with you in a way that you could actually understand. And she goes, oh my gosh, I never thought about it that way before. I said, have you had any other experiences? And she goes, yeah. And she starts to share another experience that she had when she was 18. And then, because I knew this lady was lit on both ends, I mean, she was a real character, I said something to her that rocked her world. I said, you know what? You really are a believer, aren't you? And she goes, a believer? I'm not a believer. Gosh, don't you hear? I hate religion. I said, I'm not talking about religion. I said, is it possible that you've been resisting the very one who's been reaching out to you throughout your life because you've hated religion from the earliest part of your life? I'm talking about a true spiritual connection with the God of the universe who created all this through his son Jesus. And she goes, oh my gosh, I've never thought about it this way. You're getting me to rethink my whole life. By the time we touched down in Canada, in Edmonton, she says, you know what? I have never had a conversation like this with someone before. She goes, I wish more people could have conversations like this. And I said, so do I. What happens? Well, first of all, I had to die to myself. I had to be willing to be in the moment. I had to be willing to reach her and meet her right where she was. And if you're going to reach too, you got to start where people are, not where you'd like them to be. She wasn't ready to become a Christian on that flight, but you know what she was? She was ready to hear good news, and she was ready to be challenged to think about her journey through life and maybe begin to see that God has been trying to connect with her along the way. But maybe because she's an artist, and typically artists aren't necessarily warmly received sometimes in the Christian community because they think differently and they think outside the box. I said, is it possible that you and Jesus have a whole lot more in common than you could ever imagine? Not only did he hate religion, but he truly loved people right where they were. And then, you know, what happened is I connected with her at this deep level. She started to ask me some questions. And this is where it's really important that we learn how to offer what I call spiritual appetizers. A spiritual appetizer is sharing an authentic, relevant snapshot of how Jesus has shown up in a specific area of your life in 2 minutes or less. We have a real problem in the body of Christ. We want to biggie-size the meal. We want to oversupply, and we end up killing the demand. And if you're going to reach two, you need to understand that sometimes you just need to put an appetizer out there. If they want more, they can always ask for more. Listen to Bill Hybels as he talks about this.
When I challenge people to take risks in their relationships with people outside the family of God, and I say, look, just walk across a room. Reach out a hand, start a conversation. You don't know where it's going to lead. But if the opportunity comes for you to hear the story of someone else, that's cool. Even if you don't have an opportunity to tell yours. Just treat people with enough dignity to communicate to them that their story matters. Hopefully, they'll be open to you telling yours and you tell it. And that's the stuff that God uses. And so many times I've told my brief little story and someone went, oh, thank you very much. And I didn't think it had any effect on them. And I would find out months or years later that the little seed that was planted through the telling of my 1 minute story was something that God used. And they started a faith walk and became a Christian, got baptized and all that. And they trace it back to the telling of my little story. Blows my mind. But the scripture says there's power in the sharing of the central truths of Christianity, a power beyond the words. It's what the Holy Spirit uses to catalyze activity in people's minds and hearts. So we have to be ready and willing and eager when the opportunity arises to tell our stories.
If you've never done that before, I have actually a whole chapter in my book on how to write and prepare spiritual appetizers. I think you'd find it a helpful process, because what I've learned is that when a Christian is faithful to prepare, opportunity knocks. And then they're ready to be faithful in that moment because they've taken the time to be ready to share what God has done in their life. Now, as we end this whole series, I thought to myself, I got to believe there's some folks out here who are maybe a little bit like me. You're wondering, how do I know how I'm doing in this whole area of reaching to? I mean, is there a measuring stick? How would I even begin to know if I'm kind of getting close to the bullseye? And I thought, hey, here are some thoughts for you today as we think about this. As you reflect back over your past month, did you reach out, meet anyone new? Did you shake a hand? Did you move towards somebody, take the initiative? Did you listen to anyone's story? Did you do any acts of kindness? Did you eat with any not yet Christians? Did you offer to pray for anyone? Did you pray behind anyone's back? Meaning that you know and I know that there are some people at your office or in your neighborhood, they would absolutely be appalled if you offered to pray for them. They're not ready for that yet. But you know what? You can always pray behind their back and pray that God would begin to soften a heart. Did you include any not yet Christians in your recreational pursuits or your hobbies? Did you ask any wondering questions? Did you ask anyone for permission to share your God story? You can never go wrong by asking someone for permission, you see. Well, as we wrap this whole thing up, here are a couple of resources that might help you as you set out on this journey to reach to. You've heard about my book called God Space. I mentioned it earlier today about the whole idea of listening. My whole world got rocked when I read this book. I call it the Bible on listening, and I realized that most of the time I wasn't listening to the people I was in conversations with. That many, many, many times I was listening not so much to try and understand where they were coming from. I was listening because I was getting to reply and prepare my argument to kind of show them that maybe they were wrong and I was right. And all that did was create an us versus them standoff. Yesterday we did a listening test in a workshop I did here, and probably 95% of the people failed it. And I offered this book to them to help them in their attempts to listen to others. For those of you into the tech thing, hey, if you text 90210 between now and Christmas for the next 6 weeks, I will serve personally as your guide through my book, 2 chapters a week, and I'll be having some video coaching and some ideas that might help you as you set out on your journey to reach two. All you have to do is text in God's GPS FH for Fairhaven. Okay? Final thought, as we wrap it up here, there's a verse found in Philemon chapter 1, verse 6. It says, I pray that you will be active in sharing what you believe. Then you will completely understand every good thing we have in Christ. Some of you, I know, probably feel like this guy did when he was up on the edge going, hey, it's time to bungee. We're jumping 1, 2, 3, bungee. Some of you probably have some of those fears when you think about this whole series and being challenged to reach to. It's like, I'm not sure how to pull that off. Well, there comes a time in everyone's life to make a choice. Hey, am I going to go for it or not? Think about this. Philemon says, 1:6 says, that when we are active in sharing our faith, something happens in us. And I have found in my own experience that when I am living an outwardly focused life and I am doing what I did on the airplane with that lady, I cop a Jesus buzz. I experience Jesus in ways that I never do, even in a church service, because now I'm about the very thing that Jesus said he came to do, and that was to seek and to save that which was lost. So how about it, Fairhaven Church? Are you ready to get out on the edge with me, your pastor, and others here at the church and go for it, trusting that Jesus is going to show up and appear as you set out to reach to? I hope you are. Let's pray to that end. Lord, thanks for this church. Thanks for Pastor David and the challenge that he's given over the past couple of weeks to not only be inwardly strong as a church, but to be outwardly focused. We know, according to your word, that your heart longs to be connected intimately with your creation. And I pray today that some way the words that were shared here would just help people increase their competence and their confidence so that they might leave here today refreshed and inspired, ready to be about this journey of leaving the church and being the church in their Monday through Saturday world. Would you increase the borders of this church? Would you help people break out of the bubble and get out there and really engage the hearts of others? I make this prayer in Jesus' name so that your kingdom might be advanced and you might be glorified. It's in Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.